Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Richard Pollock doing the Legal Curve post-game podcast solo tonight. Drew Mandel was in his seats, the raucous atmosphere at MTS Center. And what an amazing environment it was tonight. Game four of the Jets-Ducks series, it didn't necessarily match the enthusiasm of the Monday game three performance of the fans. Speak about the fans first. I mean, the consistency of the loudness on Monday night was probably unmatched since the Jets returned, for the first time since 1996. But tonight's crowd, while enthusiastic at the beginning and probably, you know, waiting for the other shoe to drop at times in the second period, especially the latter half of the second period, the performance of the fans in the third period, to me, brought the Jets back into the game. Down 3-1, a standing ovation, which prompted a goal that we'll discuss off of a faceoff by Mark Stewart. But even after that, a 3-2 game, the Jets fans standing and cheering "Go Jets Go" through an entire television timeout. And I mean, the timing of the timeout really was fortuitous for the Anaheim Ducks. And you thought, oh, the momentum wouldn't be sustained during that break. But the Jets fans did sustain that momentum during the break, and the Jets made a big push, which we'll talk about later on in the podcast. But just an incredible performance by the fans tonight. In terms of the Jets on ice, they've had better performances. They looked sluggish, I thought. The defense overall was... the performance was poor. And the forward groups, the new forward lines that were employed by Coach Palmer, especially the Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, Matthew Perreault line, really didn't seem to have much this evening. And maybe it was a lack of chemistry, but the passing as a team for the Jets tonight was off. The passes were in the feet. The passes were too far. Maybe they were panic plays. Maybe they were nerves. Maybe they were seeing a 3-0 deficit and didn't feel as though they were going to be able to make things work. But overall, it was an amazing performance for the course of the season. And I think that's what Jets fans will remember about the year. The expectation was not playoffs, and the Jets performed extremely well. I'm just getting a note here from David Manuka of LegalCurve.com that Palmer is saying that the team had 8 significant injuries and 4 happened in this series. So playoff hockey for a first taste for a few of these Jets, and some of them hadn't been back in a long time, but had tasted it before. And obviously it takes its toll. As you see the teams that make it far, a lot of the guys play with significant injuries. So going through goal by goal here, well, first, actually, I want to talk about the line changes. And you know, it's probably nitpicking, but I think if you're going to make the line changes up front, which the Jets did, and moving Tulusti up, moving Stafford up to the first line, or the theoretical first line, it just, to me, I would have gone back to Ladd, Little, Wheeler, because you know what you have. And I thought if there was going to be a line changes to the lines up front, it probably ought to have been in game number three. It's a little bit too late here, but in any event, the change was made, and it seemed a little bit desperate in the sense that these lines hadn't really ever been played together. Some of the players have played together, but the lines hadn't really played together too much, and you saw some of that. You know, when we spoke about the passing earlier on in the podcast, you know, that's lots of time a product of a lack of familiarity. And I thought that was on display tonight. And the defense pairings as well, Bufflin and Dustin Bufflin played alongside Mark Stewart. And that pairing, to me, isn't a great fit. Ben Sherratt draws back into the lineup. Didn't have an issue with his game at all. Thought he played a good game. But I thought out of the four games in this series, the Jets' poorest performance was tonight's game. Game four, and of course, eliminated for the and sent home. Well, in terms of the goals, let's go goal by goal here. The first goal of the game, the Jets scored, and they had a lead. And they've had a lead. They had a lead for significant, a large part of the series, but the first goal is a power play goal, and the Jets power play got going. Dustin Bufflin made a real nice play through the neutral zone, created speed, and you see he made the pass over in the left wing to Matthew Perreault, and boy, he's effective And the left wing off the rush at even strength is effective. Usually plays the right side on the off wing on the offense on the power play. But this was a power play rush goal, which you saw the Jets score a few of this year. And Dustin Byfuglien gets speed through the neutral zone. What happens here is that Kessler and Silverberg seem to get a little bit mixed up as to who has which guy in the neutral zone. And that really gave Byfuglien a clear path through the neutral zone, over to Perreault. Perreault, you've seen this goal a few times actually this year. Perreault makes a pass to Little, who's streaking through the middle, and Little holds back a bit, so he's not close enough to the defense for them to defend him. But he separates himself from the forwards, and Kessler, who seemed a little bit mixed up with Silverberg, is a little bit late getting back. And Little receives the pass nicely from Perreault. It's a great pass, and he goes top corner on Frederik Andersen, who has a very good glove hand and displayed that tonight on a point-blank save, I believe, on Tyler Myers and a couple of times throughout the series. And it's 1-0 Jets. And so you're thinking, okay, the Jets are here to play. It's at 16:26 into the first period. And, less than a minute and a half later, Anaheim answers back. And this goal was a highlight reel goal. That's Emerson Edom down the wing. But I want to talk about the play in the Ducks' own zone first. Really nice, smart play by Clayton Stoner to tip the puck over to to Corey Perry, who kind of just pushes it over to Vatanen. Sami Vatanen makes a nice backhand pass over to Emerson Edom, who's able to create a bunch of speed from his own zone. Emerson Edom, you can say what you will about him, and he can be inconsistent in times, and he's not the most physical player, but he can skate as well as most players, better than most players in the National Hockey League. And he comes down the wing kind of on a one-on-two, and Jacob Trouba had earlier in the first period kind of gone at a player, I forget who it was, in the neutral zone and tried to be too physical and left Edom on his own. This time he tries to play Edom one-on-one. He's got to be aware of Edom being more of a skill guy with some speed. And he goes at him and gets absolutely undressed. And Ben Chiarot comes to help Trouba. Trouba was playing with Chiarot tonight. And Edom, kind of the puck bobbles, and Edom makes a flip backhand pass. Beautiful goal on Andre Pavlik. And it's 1-1. So the Ducks come right back, seemingly unfazed by the Jets scoring and the crowd noise. And it's 1-1 after one period. The shots after one period were actually 10 apiece. And the flow of the game was probably reflective of the flow of the game. You get into the second period, and the first half of the second period, I thought the Jets controlled the play and got some opportunities, especially early on. But as the period went on, the Ducks took control, and especially in the latter half of the second period, the Ducks really seemed to step on the Jets. And frankly, the only goal of that period was by Andrew Cogliano, which we'll talk about the goal in a second. But the Jets were lucky to go unscathed aside from that goal by Andrew Cogliano. On the play, you talk about Dustin Byfuglien making a nice play through the neutral zone. I should note the second goal was even strength. This goal is also even strength. Cogliano's goal. Lindholm, Hampus Lindholm, who played a really solid series. Smart. Certainly advanced, I think sense to the game for his age, polished, doesn't panic, doesn't need, does not necessarily fastest skater off the hop, but doesn't really need too long stick, and he really makes good decisions. And he comes through the neutral zone, makes a nice play, drops it to Corey Perry. And you can take issue with Jurij Tulusi kind of being spun around here a bit and not skating backwards, but the biggest thing is Hampus Lindholm comes in and makes a drop pass to Corey Perry. Instead of Tulusi leaving his... Dustin Byfuglien leaving that to Jurij Tulusi, Dustin Byfuglien wants to get aggressive and create an opportunity going up the ice. He goes at Corey Perry, and when you go at great players like that, they walk around you, and that's exactly what happens. Corey Perry walks around Dustin Byfuglien, and he makes a really nice pass on a kind of a one-timer tip play to Andrew Cogliano, what happens when Byfuglien goes after Perry is he kind of screws up who's got who, and the Jets are left down 2-1 after two periods. The defenseman he left on his own was Tobias Enstrom, and then Tulusi was left scrambling for Cogliano because Enstrom had taken, Lindholm on the play, if I recall correctly. So down 2-1, a game of mistakes, certainly a game of mistakes. You go into the third period, and the Jets are down 2-1, and they had been leading by a goal in every game so far. So, some up in the press box were thinking maybe it'd be a good change of... maybe changing the pressure a bit. The Ducks coming up a goal, and the Jets maybe have nothing to lose. You go into the third period, and the Ducks are the first to strike. Ryan Kessler, in fact, is the first to strike, and I'll talk in a second about how I think the Ducks' style of play changed after that goal. But the goal itself, I mean, it was an interesting play in that, first off, Tobias Enstrom pinches on the left boards and gets caught. And Tobias Enstrom's game in this whole series was below par, well below par, actually. He gets caught up ice. And so the Ducks are coming in on 2-on-1. It's, you know, you got Jacob Soderberg and, Thomas Fleischmann. I've actually played a nice game as well. And they come down on a 2-on-1. And the actually interesting part of the play was that, well, Soderberg comes up and makes a pass to Fleischmann, puts a puck on net, and the rebound is by Kessler. But and Myers was a defender, but I mean, basically a kind of a quasi 3-on-1. But the play actually is, you know, that ends up being the goal, is that Kessler gets in front of Brian Little on the back check. He's essentially interfering with him on the back check, and you could have possibly called it interference. I thought if Little had kind of tried harder to get through him, he might have been able to either draw Kessler away from the play or take him out or get a penalty. In any event, Kessler kind of blocks out, you know, if you're playing basketball, blocks out Brian Little, and he ends up being the benefactor of a big juicy rebound off of a 2-on-1 and a mistake by Enstrom, and it's put in the back of the net. 3-1 Ducks. The mood in the arena changes. And I think, as I said earlier, the Ducks' style changed. They started simplifying their game. I thought even too much, which eventually I thought allowed the Jets back into the game. That combined with the fans prodding them into action. And I mentioned the fans prodding them back into action. Well, there was an icing play. And it ended up being that the Ducks were stuck with a unit on the ice that they didn't want, of course, and that was Fleischmann and Jackman and Bolesky. So you have Fleischmann, I believe it was Fleischmann taking the draw, if I recall correctly, but you really don't have a center that you want on there. The Ducks have had either Getzlaff or Kessler on for all the big draws that they've taken. And so you don't have a face-off guy, and you're stuck with the unit that you don't want on there because you iced it. They took a timeout, so they rested them, but at the end of the day, you don't have the guy for the face-off. And the fans, just so loud after that, during that timeout, leading into a face-off goal. Brian Little wins a face-off. It's over to Ladd. Back to Stewart. Thought the puck hit Drew Stafford on the way in, but it might have hit the Ducks defender, and clearly the official scorekeeper thinks it did, so I'll take his or her word for it. And shot from the point, bounces off somebody in front. 3-2 game. Crowd explodes. So the crowd, to me, prompts them to score, and then it explodes and cheers. Standing up, basically watching the next part of the game until the Ducks' fourth goal. The environment in here is as raucous as it's ever been. I mean, that stretch of the TV timeout was a special moment. I mean, if you were in the arena, you were watching on TV, you heard it on the radio, you got goosebumps. And if you didn't, you know, you're not a hockey fan. So the Jets are pushing. They don't get a ton of chances until a big push. Jacob Trouba's up in front of the net. Tobias Enstrom with a swarmed crease, about eight guys in the middle of the puck, pops out. Tobias Enstrom puts it way over the net. And maybe that was the turning point of the game. The Jets aren't able to get an opportunity. The puck ends up flowing back the other way. The 2-on-1 with Jacob Soderberg, who played just a tremendous series, and Ryan Kessler, who, you know, you might not like the way he plays if you're a Jets fan, or you might not like the way he plays if you're any kind of team's fan, or fan of any team, but he played a heck of a series, turned his game up and another level, and while well, he drew Mark Scheifele in the first two games and really shut him down, in these next two games, he drew Adam Lowry, and he really just outperformed the youngster, so turned his game up another level. Soderberg gets a quick pass over to Kessler, and I like the way they set that play up, in the sense that I don't mind Trouba being up there trying to create an opportunity offensively, because they need to push. So he leaves back, Tobias Enstrom back there on that play. Looks like it was Enstrom and Myers up on the ice on that play. I'm trying to remember. Trouba was the one pinching up earlier, so it must have been a little bit of extended play there. In any event, it was Myers up the ice, so that's my mistake. And on the play here, Lowry is coming back really hard on Ryan Kessler. And with Lowry coming back really hard on Ryan Kessler, Soderberg gets the pass over to him, probably a little bit higher than the hash marks, because he knows that there's back pressure. And that's a smart play, because they're able to get a shot off the Anaheim Ducks art. Kessler gets into an immediate shooting position, gets off the shot quick. You want Andre Palak to have this play, have this shot. He doesn't. I think if you ask him, put some truth serum in him, he'd tell you should have it. But Soderberg, nice pass, and a beautiful, beautiful shot by Ryan Kessler. 4-2, energy sapped out of the building. And that would be it. No, I mean, there's a chance or two at the end there, but nothing really. And you had Sammy Vatanen, who I thought played a heck of a series as well. Clayton Stoner, who I thought played an underrated series. Ducks really as a whole played a real solid series. Sammy Vatanen puts it back and all the way down the ice at 19:33 of the third period. It's a technically an even strength goal, even strength empty netter, and all goals were even strength except for the first goal, which is a power play goal by the Jets, 5-2. And the Jets fans send the players off with a standing ovation. An incredible salute to the fans of the handshake line, you know, some former teammates and such. Interesting to note, Bruce Boudreau went and shook Paul Maurice's hand, and they shook each other's hands, and then Bruce Boudreau went to the back of the Ducks handshake line. I'm sure this will be talked about in the media tomorrow, but went to the back of the Ducks handshake line, and Paul Maurice went off to the showers. So the whole coaching staff, in fact, for the Jets went back to the showers, which I thought was a little bit odd, but probably they're just not even remembering they should be out there, or just being a little bit emotional. In any event, a real solid season for the Jets. A disappointing performance, though, and I think when you talk about the season overall, you're really encouraged, and we'll break it down tomorrow on NHL Midweek on Thursday, the last NHL Midweek of the season, and probably further on Saturday on Illegal Curve at noon. But as surprising as it was for the Jets to make the playoffs, I think it's just a surprise. Not just as surprising, but it is surprising that the performance that they had in this series, and I know they were in every game, but to lose four straight has to be discouraging on some levels, and maybe it tells us more about some players than we expected, but we can leave that for the summer. And in terms of ice time, as Drew always goes over, you know, Jets are interesting. Jacob Trouba kind of out of control a bit in the first period. I don't have a period-by-period breakdown, but he only played 16:15 total ice time and 14:41 of even strength. You look at other ice times that were of significance. Dustin Byfuglien led the team with 25 minutes and 52 seconds. He created some offensively tonight, but again, you know, defensively wasn't overly proficient, I'd say. Tyler Myers was second on the squad with 25 minutes and 37 seconds of total ice time, and he led the team in even strength ice time with 22 minutes and 57 seconds. You look at faceoffs, the Jets were 46% and the Ducks were 54%. The Ducks ended up outshooting the Winnipeg Jets, the Ducks ended up outshooting the Winnipeg Jets 35-27 total. Frederick Anderson, you know, I haven't talked a lot about him, but Frederick Anderson I thought was solid in this whole series, and goalie I think is better than some others think, but I think he proved his worth at least in this series, and he looks like he might be up against the Calgary Flames in the next series, so Ducks are certainly a heavy favorite to hit the conference finals. In terms of forward ice time, reverting back to that, Brian Little played 21:51, Andrew Ladd played 22:53. So those guys played big minutes. And Blake Wheeler played 19 minutes and 9 seconds. So his line at even strength saw 15:17, and Brian Little's line saw 18:46, or at least that's with their respective ice time. So you saw a little bit of a change in the lines and the defensemen and everything was utilized. But overall, you got to tip your hat to the Anaheim Ducks. It was a great performance and a team that has aspirations of going to the Cup, and after losing to Detroit in the first round 2 years ago and losing to the Kings in the Game 7 last year at home in the second round, you have to think the Ducks, anything less than a third round for sure this year would be a huge disappointment, and after seeing them be criticized quite a bit and questioned, they certainly shut a lot of people up this round. So that's it for the Illegal Curve the Illegal Curve post-game podcast, excuse me. As I said earlier, we'll be on NHL Midweek on Thursday, special edition and the final edition of the season, tomorrow on TSN 1290 at 6 p.m. Have a good evening, and if you're listening to this tomorrow, I hope you enjoy your day.